Welcome all of you here today. If you're a guest, we welcome you, and we hope you can join us just for a time of fellowship after the service, and we can get to know each other better overall. I want to welcome Mike Johnson with us. He's leading us in the message today in the service, and Mike is part of Ascending Leaders, but he also is a consultant for our classes, our region of churches, and our church as well. We're using it at this time during our interim period as we seek for a new pastor. I'd like to use for our call to worship 1 Corinthians 13. Think about what our lives are about as Christians and even what this worship service and each time we worship is about. First part of 1 Corinthians 13, of course, this is a great love chapter, we call it. But the first few verses are saying, you know, you can do all sorts of things. You can even have all sorts of money. You do great things. But if you don't have love, it's nothing. In fact, it says you are nothing, you have nothing, you gain nothing. And then it says this: love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then towards the end, it says, "For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." So as we've come to worship, this is an opportunity to show our love to one another. However you can see that happening, just being yourself, just talking with others, encouraging them after the service, as you've done so before the service. And then we give our whole lives in love. Love is at the core of who we are and what we do as Christians. We're going to sing in a moment, "My Life is in You." And our praise to God even this morning is about expressing our love to Him. We're going to sing, "Here I Am to Worship." Worship is about showing and expressing that love to God. And so that's what we are about and what we are doing here this morning. Our praise as an experience of love for God. Will you stand with me now as we are greeted by our God, and as we then greet each other. So our God is here, He's present among us, and He greets us with these words: "Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord through the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen." So reach out to one another, and if there's somebody around you you don't really know, take an extra moment to get to know their name. And the others around you, if you don't get to shake their hand, they'll forgive you, because we're going to be talking about forgiveness today.
Of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to be. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Father, we bow before your presence this Sunday morning to thank and praise you for the blessings to our church, to our families, and us as individuals. We all face challenges and issues in our life each day, and you have again provided for all of our needs in all situations. We thank you that you are a loving, kind, generous, and forgiving God. Help us to be more like you. We pray for the Pastor Search Committee as they review applications, and that you will send a man of your choosing at the appropriate time to lead this flock. We thank you for Pastor Mike as he assists our church in our renewal process and continues to monitor our progress on our two objectives: to have a stronger unity from worship with you and each other, and to broaden and deepen relationships of this body of believers. We ask you for your healing mercies on Elaine Meyer and Joy Doderick, who have cancer. Be with them as they go through the chemotherapy process and possible surgeries, and heal them as you are the great physician. We also pray for Diane McFarland's daughter and unborn child, and that the pregnancy will go well and the child will be healthy. We thank you for the successful surgery of Nancy Camigan and for the continued progress made by LaVon Hammonds and Drew Gazer, and that Sonia Zambrano was able to return home. Continue to be with them. We offer a prayer of praise for the Newsmas and Wilsons and the birth of two new grandchildren. We pray for their health and strength and for the parents as they seek to raise your covenant children. Bless Pastor Mike as he leads us in worship this morning. Give him clarity of mind and thought as he proclaims thy word. As your chosen people, let us clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. May we bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances we may have against one another, and forgive as you forgave us. And may we all, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds us all together in perfect unity. Be with us throughout this day and in this new week, and that may, we may pray continually as you have taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, glory forever. Amen. Children in worship, they can follow the flag.
Good morning. Some of us like a lot of spontaneity, and some of us like things just in a certain order. And for those of you who like things in an order, you say, wait, you forgot assurance and confession. We're going to move that to after the message, and when we get there, you'll know why. So it's good to be with you. As Kevin said, I lead Ascending Leaders. We are 10 years old. We are about helping churches and disciples and leaders flourish through teaching and coaching and resourcing. And the last 3 years, Class of Central Plains has partnered with Ascending Leaders for me to provide coaching. So I've been working kind of behind the scenes and with different committees of your church and a number of other churches in the area. We had a meeting here yesterday afternoon with part of the worship committee, part of the connections committee. Is it connections or networking? Connections, thank you. Connections committee. We made a lot of great progress, so it's good to see what God is doing here. Often churches treat a vacancy as, okay, what do we do during a vacancy? We try to hold things together and get another pastor as fast as we possibly can. But you are making some significant progress in saying, no, let's not just do that, but let's get healthier as a church. Let's start our next season, our next chapter with our next pastor at even a healthier place. And so I want to applaud you for that and just say, keep at it. So Ascending Leaders, we publish 25 workbooks that can be used for discipleship. And a number of years ago, I was working on a series we call The Spirit's Fruit, and it's from Galatians 5. You may know that passage. We have a book on love and one on joy, one on peace and one on patience, and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, and we have one on forgiveness. Now, if you know Galatians 5, you say, what? Forgiveness? It doesn't say forgiveness in Galatians 5. Well, open with me this morning to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. This is going to be our text for this morning's message. We'll begin reading at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord God forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Do you notice that it uses many of the same words as Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit? But then it adds forgiveness. And some say, you know, Galatians 5 isn't simply those are the fruit of the Spirit, but there are others as well, and there are others here in Colossians 3. And so one of the books we put together is called Giving Forgiveness, and it really just takes you through how to forgive. This morning's message is called Forgive and Remember. Say, what? I thought it's forgive and forget. No, forgive and remember, but without rancor. But what's rancor? Well, rancor is bitter, deep-seated ill will. So forgive and remember, but remember without bitter, deep-seated ill will. Now, we need this. About 15 years ago, there was a study of 5,000 Christians around the world. And these 5,000 Christians answered this survey on their spiritual health. And they ranked it by the fruit of the Spirit. And the bottom one was forgiveness. Of all of them, the bottom one was forgiveness. And we see it, you know, we see these school shootings or random violence and how it comes out of anger. You know, in my own city, I live in the city of Houston, my family, and every once in a while we'll see on the news or, you know, something. I remember one in the last year where a man wanted to find his ex-wife, and she was afraid of him, and she had spent some time with her sister. He found her sister, the whole family home, and he murdered everybody. And it's like, what is going on here? Well, a lot of that has to do with bitterness and resentment and revenge, because bitterness infects the soul, and it leads to violence. Now, this morning is going to be kind of a practical message. It's not going to be the kind of message where I say, forgiveness, God commanded it, and life works better if you use it. We just say, amen, we're done. Shortest sermon you probably ever heard. But I want to talk a little bit about the how-tos. We all know we need to forgive. Where it gets difficult is the how-to. And if the how-to gets in the way, then we should explore the how-to, because Jesus tells us to forgive. So first we're going to see this morning to forgive your grievances. Forgive your grievances. Your forgiveness can be a lot like grief. If you have ever read about the stages of grief, there's often some stages that people go through. First it's denial, then it's anger, then it's bargaining, then it's depression, then it's acceptance. In many ways, forgiveness can be like that. At first, it may be denial that anything is wrong. And then after that, it may lead to actually saying, no, there is something wrong. Somebody wronged me, and anger over it. And then maybe some bargaining with God about it. And getting to a point of regret and depression, leading to acceptance. You know, I've learned that forgiveness is kind of like an onion peeling back layers. Several years ago when I was church planting, there was a man who became a Christian in our church. And we went through something pretty traumatic in the life of the church. We lost about half the congregation, and I took that as a huge blow. And one day he came to my office, and he was a pretty new Christian, and he said, but you need to forgive. And I said, well, I have, and I have again. This is one of those big ones that's going to take forgiving over and over and working through it a long time. So don't think that forgiveness just happens just like that. It's no small thing. At that time, I was with a counselor, and the counselor was talking to me about forgiveness, and I said, you know, I know I need to forgive, but I just find it impossible. And the counselor advised, which is great advice when you find it hard to forgive, is just ask God to do what you cannot do on your own. Lord, help me forgive them, because I can't do it on my own. I'm finding it very difficult, but you can do what I can't do, and so just ask him. There's no really alternative to forgiveness, because if you don't forgive, then that potion of bitterness will remain in your heart and your soul, and it will never leave you at peace. The peace of Christ will never rule in your life. Yeah, you have the peace of Christ as far as eternal salvation, but you live now like everything's awful. Like you're angry, you're frustrated. The world's cruel to you because you can't let go. Lewis Smedes, who was once a Christian Reformed pastor, he's now passed away, said that you, in forgiveness, you set the prisoner free, and then you discover the real prisoner was yourself. Or somebody has said, why are you not forgiving, and you're letting that person who wronged you live in your mind rent-free? Isn't that the way it is? You know, they're well past it, but for you, you keep rehashing it, rehashing it, rehashing it. They're living in your mind rent-free. Psalm 32, verse 3, the psalmist says, you know, when I kept quiet, when I didn't forgive, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. When we don't forgive, it affects our health. It affects relationships. It's kind of like two brothers who are angry with each other, and their father just wants to do something with them, and the father says, let's go fishing together. And the two brothers each think, well, for dad, I can do this. And they're in the boat together, and yeah, they're not fighting, but certainly there is this thick silence because of the lack of forgiveness. And maybe you think, well, I've got my relationship with God, but I can't forgive that person. Well, it doesn't work very well that way. I mean, the Father wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to have a rich relationship of unity. And so how far in the future do you intend to carry resentment and bitterness and anger from your past? Some of you who know me well know that my mother-in-law passed away in December at the age of 72. And she has been fighting ALS, well, you can't fight ALS, basically, for the last 2 years. It's been quite a journey with her. But she has two brothers who were in business together, and the business fell apart, and were suing each other. And one brother said to me, he said, you know, I'm beyond this. I want to reconcile. And I said, then get to the bedside of your sister who's dying. And my mother-in-law and her husband, my father-in-law, they were having their big wedding anniversary. And those two brothers, one said, well, if they're there, I can't be there. And she said, what are you going to do at my memorial service? You're going to stand it up because the other person is there? I mean, bitterness, it breaks apart families. It cuts families deep. And we need to forgive. So the common response when you feel hurt is to either strike out or to stuff it. But there are other ways to go about it. And that is to say that I have been hurt by what you did. Not to cast out accusations against somebody else. So you did this, but when you did that, I felt hurt. Not letting it stuff and go deep inside. And not striking out to hurt the other person. But seeking to repair the relationship by simply stating that hurt. Romans 12, verse 19 says, do not take revenge. It's mine to avenge. I will repay, says God. Or Deuteronomy 32, God says, it's mine to avenge. I will repay in due time. So you may think, if I forgive them, then what about the justice? They're getting let go. They're being allowed to get away with that. But they're not. Because justice is not in your hands. It's in God's hands. And God says, let me deal with the justice issue. You know, lashing out at someone, hurting them more, doesn't stop the pain. A number of years ago in Texas, there was a woman on death row. I believe she was the first woman on death row. And she had become a Christian while she was in prison. And she had committed a gruesome murder, which got her on death row as her sentence, sentenced to death. But then when it came to their point of the end of her life, people who knew her in prison said, but she's a Christian and she's impacting so many people in prison. Doesn't that make a difference? Shouldn't she live? And it struck me that then on the news, she said, you know, I am a follower of Christ and I would love to have more time on this earth, but I also committed a horrible crime. And if the court says that this is my punishment, I'm willing to take it. Now, after her death, they interviewed the husband of a woman she had murdered. And they asked him, so, do you feel better? And he says, I don't feel better. I'll hate her the rest of my life. Now, look at those two people. The one who had committed this murder and become a follower of Christ and ask for forgiveness. Look at the joy she has. She can even face death with peace. And then this other person who just couldn't forgive and was going to live in that resentment the rest of his life. You know, forgiveness doesn't mean that somebody is let off the hook. It doesn't mean that, you know, the consequences of what somebody has done aren't taken care of. Several years ago, I was involved with a church, coaching a church where the pastor had committed a crime, forged somebody's signature. And we were working with a church on it, and the congregation, interestingly, they wanted him to pastor their church back. And we said, well, there needs to be some things he needs to go through. You know, why did he do this? And some counselors said, you need some counseling. And the church was like, haven't you forgiven him? Forgiven him? Then you should let him back to be a pastor. Forgiveness doesn't mean that some of the consequences don't take place. You know you've forgiven when you can separate the person from the pain they caused you. When you can see someone and your first thought isn't that pain. You don't have that gut-wrenching feeling of, oh, that person just hurt me so deeply. You'll remember it. But you know you're forgiven when you can remember it without rancor. When you don't have that tightening of a gut. I was in a sitting in a small group one time. I was invited to sit in it, and they were studying a forgiveness book. And one retired CRC pastor said, I'm good with everybody. You know, I've forgiven everybody. You know, but my ex-son-in-law, I hope I never see him again. And I felt like saying, you haven't forgiven everybody. And you may say that, I'm good with everybody. I don't have any problems. I've forgiven everybody. But who is it that when you see them, there's kind of that wrenching in your gut? That's a sign of more forgiveness you need to do yet. You know, who is it that you'd rather not see here? You'd rather go in a different door than they go in. It's a sign you need to do some forgiveness yet. You need to do more forgiveness. Who is it that you say, I really don't care to be around that person? That's a sign that you need to do some more forgiveness there. You've completed the process of forgiveness when you know that your anger towards someone is replaced by empathy. You know, when you don't see so much anymore what they did as evil as you see it as they are a wounded person who did that out of their own pain. That you find it easier to accept the person as they are and not try to change them. When you can remember without rancor. When you can separate the person from the offense, you know you're forgiven. So forgive, as Jesus tells us, forgive your grievances. Secondly, forgive as God forgave. God has forgiven you over and over. You know, you might say, I forgave that person once and then twice, but they keep doing it over and over. There comes a point when I can't forgive any longer. But how many times has God forgiven you? I think it's way more than I can even count for myself. You know, sins that I don't even realize I've done, and God's already forgiven me for them. You've rejected God. I've rejected God. And yet, there's no way that we can have rejected God that he doesn't forgive. Some people say, you don't know what I've done. God can't forgive me, but he can and he will. Peter thought, hey, he had this under the wraps. And he said, you know, if I forgive the way the law tells me, and I do it 70 times, then I'm off the hook, right? And Jesus says, no, you're not. 70 times 7. Keep on forgiving. Keep on forgiving. In fact, Matthew 6 tells us that Jesus says, if you do not forgive, my Father cannot forgive you. Wow, that's big. If you do not forgive, my Father cannot forgive you. There's the parable in Matthew 18 of the king who his servant, who owed him money. He said, now pay up. And the servant said, please give me some more time. Just be patient with me. And the king released the debts and said, you are debt free. And that servant then went out to someone who owed him money and said, pay up now. And the person said, please have patience with me. And he threw him in jail. The king heard about it and he called that servant back and he said, you couldn't show someone else the same forgiveness I showed you? That's a little bit like the way it is with us. God has forgiven us for so very much, and yet we have a hard time forgiving others. You know, if you were standing after the service here and you had a cup of coffee in your hand, and I understand the coffee's great, so make sure you get a cup of coffee, and someone said, you know, I think there's a lot of ways to get to heaven, not just Jesus Christ. You'd probably be incensed. You would say, what? Jesus says, I am the only way, the truth, and the life. That can't be true. Or you say, you know, there's no way that Mary could have been a virgin. You say, what? Scripture says it. But if somebody would say, I've been hurt so deeply and I can't forgive, would you say, what? Scripture says that you must forgive. You must. Or do you say, yeah, I can see you've been hurt badly. We must forgive as God has forgiven us. It's easier to forgive if you forgive quickly. If you forgive quickly. If when someone has hurt you, you go to them sooner rather than later and say, that hurt. I had a couple years ago, something happened to me that just really, really hurt deeply. I mean, just slapped me in the face. And I normally say, don't confront by emails. Emails is not a good way to confront. But in this situation, I was so angry, I couldn't trust for what I'd say on the phone. So I sent an email, and I simply said, what you did cut me, and cut me deep. I didn't blame. I just said, what you did cut me, and cut me deep. And the person right away made amends. And I think if I saw her today, I haven't seen this person in a while because it's in different parts of Houston, I would see her, I could give her a hug because I went quickly to her rather than letting it build and build and build inside. Matthew 18, Jesus says, you know, if someone has wronged you, then go to that person. Go right to that person and tell them how you've been wronged. If they won't hear you, if they deny it, then take another person with you. If that still doesn't make a difference, then take more with you and then go to the church, to the elders. You know, forgive as God forgave. Forgive. Now, it's harder to forgive when someone refuses to admit they've done no wrong. You know, it's difficult. It's more difficult, but you can do it. In Acts 20, we're told that Jesus bought us with his own blood. And did he buy us because we asked him to buy us with his own blood? He did it before we even confessed. And we can do the same. Forgiveness does not need an apology to be activated. Christ didn't wait for an apology, and we don't need to either. And still, it's hard. It's hard. And we need to find a way to forgive. You know, maybe it's writing a letter. I know someone who had been abused by a father as a child. And her pastor said, why don't you write him a letter saying you've forgiven him? And she did so. Well, that's not advice I'd ever give to somebody, because then the father was even more angry, saying, what? I didn't abuse you. Now, I have another friend who was using the book I wrote, Giving Forgiveness, and she wrote a letter of forgiveness to her ex-husband. Not, I forgive you, but will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? Because it takes two to tango. I was in the state of Washington 2 weeks ago, and I got to spend an evening with my father-in-law. And he pulled out a letter that my mother-in-law had written to him. And in it, she said the most beautiful thing, I thought. She said, yes, we squabbled, and I know you have, but just to be sure, will you forgive me for my part in those squabbles? Forgive me for my part. Because it takes two to tango. It takes two to dance. Forgive me for my part. Lastly, make it easy for others to forgive you. Make it easy for others to forgive you. So it's easier to live in peace. You know, someone comes to you and they say to you, I'm hurt by something you did. There's several different responses you can give. There's the humiliation response. Give me a break. That hurt you? That was no big deal. Then there's the tit-for-tat response. That's nothing compared to what you did to me. And then there's the defensive response, or the excusing response. Well, I didn't mean to hurt you. I was just trying to. You know, there were some days when my wife and I were having some struggles, and we were seeing a counselor, and the counselor said to me, you know, you may not have meant to do it, but if it hurt her, it's not okay to hurt your wife. So don't say, well, if this hurt you, she just told you it hurt you. So simply say, it's not okay to hurt. Please forgive me for hurting you. Be someone who can be easy for others to ask for forgiveness from. In the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, Jesus tells about seed, that some that fell on the path, some on weeds, some among thorns, and some on good soil. And it was that good, well-cultivated soil that produces a crop. And cultivate your own heart so it's not hard, but that it is soft. It is soft for the seeds of forgiveness. And it will result in a harvest, a large harvest. You know, I'm a gardener. And it's not like we turn the soil over once. And in Texas, we actually have two growing seasons. So we have one that's about November through February. We'll probably be getting some, we're already eating some spinach out of the garden. And then we have another one spring into summer. But between each of those seasons, I'm in there turning it. I'm only a small garden, so, you know, if I would get a big old rototiller, it would ruin my garden. So I've got to put my back into it and turn the soil all over. But that's what you do to have good growth. And that's why we need to be kind of putting it in and turning our soul over and growing deeper in Christ and keeping our soil well cultivated. And maybe even you realize you hurt someone or you think you may have hurt someone. I realized in November that I was in this area and I was I said something to a pastor. And I thought, oh, that may have hurt in ways that wasn't helpful. And so I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and I said, hey, I've been kind of bugged by what I did, and I'm sorry for that. And he goes, oh, it wasn't a problem. And it wasn't a problem for him, but I thought it might be a problem. So I was keeping my soil of my soul well cultivated by being quick to say, you know what, I may have hurt you, and I'm sorry. I have a friend who's passionate about outreach, so passionate that he can often get judgmental of those who aren't as passionate as him. And he and I are in a small group together, and he said that lately he's been going pretty intensely through the 12 steps of AA, because one of those steps is to take a fearless inventory. And he was talking about how he tends to do that and how he's trying to change his attitude and not be as quick to judge. You know, somebody told me that somebody who's not Christian Reformed and knows Christian Reformed folks said, you know, every denomination has its strengths and its weaknesses. One of the weaknesses of you Christian Reformed folk is that if somebody is different than you, it's wrong. It's not they're just different. It's wrong, you know? If somebody paints their house yellow, it's a sin. It's not a sin. Just because somebody's different from you doesn't mean they're wrong. Maybe they're just different. Take a fearless inventory. Don't stand in judgment against others. Now, relationships in the church body can especially have this. About a year ago, you took this church health survey. And out of all the results, the lowest score was on forgiveness. Two of the questions. One of the questions was this. When there's disagreements in the church, people easily and lovingly talk about them. And that involves forgiveness. That was low. Another one was, I can talk to church members about their sinful actions and we can remain friends. And that was another one that was scored very, very low. And so if you were part of that process, you put together two objectives during the vacancy to grow healthier as a church. The first was to grow a greater sense of unity, forgiveness, between the family of believers in worship, all worshipers leaving the service with a stronger connection to God. The second, broadening, that is increasing the number of, and deepening, that is moving past the superficial, the relationships of the body of believers at crossroads. Now, some of us, we deal with when we've been hurt by just keeping things superficial. Oh, I'm not going to get close to that person. Rather than choosing to go deep and say, you know, that hurt me. We need to do a better job of that in the church. You know you're forgiven when you remember, but you remember without rancor. That you remember without blaming the other person. You can say, you know, I played a part in that too. Or you can say, you know, that person was under a stressful time. And they probably didn't have the intent to hurt me, even though I was hurt. Got this book, Giving Forgiveness, that you could use in a small group, or you could even use for your personal devotions, that walks through it. I want to end this sermon this morning a little differently. In that book is a prayer. And it's a prayer of forgiveness. And I'm going to lead you in that prayer. And some of these may relate to you, some of them may not. But where it is, just dial into it. It's about forgiving people in your life. This is also going to serve as our confession. Because if you're like me, probably one of the things you most need to confess this morning is your unforgiveness. Something you're holding against somebody else. So this will serve as our confession. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask today to forgive everyone in my life. I know that you will give me strength to forgive, and I thank you that you love me more than I love myself and want my happiness more than I desire it for myself. Lord Jesus, I want to be free from the feelings of resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness toward you. For the times I've experienced death, hardships, financial difficulties, discipline, and sickness in my family. Lord, I forgive myself for my sins, faults, and failings. For all that's truly bad in myself and all that I think is bad, I forgive myself. For any delving I've done in the occult, Ouija boards, horoscopes, seances, fortune telling, lucky charms, I forgive myself. For each and every time I took your name in vain, for each and every time I worshiped something else other than you, whether it be a car or a boy or a girl or a sport or an addiction or any other material or immaterial thing, for hurting my parents, getting drunk, doing drugs, for sex before marriage, sex outside marriage, adultery, for killing a yet-to-be-born baby, I forgive myself. For my mean actions or statements to fellow church members and others, I forgive myself. For stealing, lying, disappointing myself, I am truly forgiving myself today. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your forgiveness at this moment. I truly forgive my mother. I give her for all the time she hurt me, resented my needs, was angry with me, for all the time she punished me. I forgive her for those times when she preferred my brothers and sisters to me. I forgive her for the time she told me I was dumb or ugly or stupid or the worst of children. I forgive her for the time she put me in a difficult situation, for the time she told me I was unwanted, an accident, a mistake, or not what she expected. I forgive her. I forgive my father. I forgive him for any non-support, any lack of love, lack of affection or attention. I forgive him for any lack of time, for not giving me his companionship, for his drinking or arguing and fighting with my mother or other children, for his severe punishments, for desertion, for being away from home, for divorcing my mother, or for any running around. I do forgive him. Lord, I extend forgiveness to my sisters and brothers, my siblings. I forgive those who rejected me, who lied about me, who hated me, who resented me, who competed for my parents' love, those who hurt me, who physically harmed me, who teased me relentlessly. For those who were too severe on me, punished me, or made my life unpleasant in any way, I do forgive them. Lord, I forgive my spouse for lack of love and affection, consideration, support, attention, communication, for faults, failings, weaknesses, and those other acts of word or words that hurt or disturb me. Jesus, I forgive my children for their lack of respect, obedience, love, attention, support, warmth, understanding, for their bad habits, for falling away from the church, for any bad actions which disturb me. God, I forgive my in-laws, mother, father, son or daughter-in-law, sister and brother-in-law, and other relatives by marriage for their lack of love, for their words of criticism, thoughts, actions, or omissions which injure and cause pain. I do forgive them. Please help me to forgive my relatives, my grandmother and grandfather who may have interfered in my family, been possessive of my parents, who may have caused confusion or turned one parent against the other, or ignored me and my siblings. Jesus, help me to forgive my coworkers who are disagreeable or make life miserable for me, for those who push their work off on me, who gossip about me, who are not cooperative, who take credit for my ideas and work, or try to take my job. I do forgive them. I need to forgive my neighbors, Lord, for all their noise, letting their property run down, not tying up their dogs which run through my yard, for allowing their dogs to bark all night long, for not taking in their trash cans, for showing prejudice, for snubbing me and my family and running down the neighborhood. I do forgive them. I now forgive my pastor and my congregation and my church for the times I felt unsupported, the pettiness, bad sermons, lack of friendliness, for not affirming or valuing me as I am and as I should, for not providing me with inspiration, for not using me in a key position, for not inviting me to serve in a major capacity, or for any other hurt they have inflicted. I forgive them today. I forgive fellow church members and church leaders for acting in ways that are less than kind. I forgive them for neglecting me when I was struggling or in need, for holding to views I feel are not of God, for giving me a cold shoulder, for decisions that hurt our church rather than helped. I do forgive them. Lord, I forgive all professional people who have hurt me in any way, doctors, nurses, lawyers, policemen, hospital workers, for anything they did to me. I truly forgive them. Lord, I forgive my employer for not paying me enough money, for not appreciating my work, for being unkind and unreasonable with me, for being angry or unfriendly, for not promoting me, and for not complimenting me on my work. I forgive my school teachers and my instructors, of the past and of the present, those who punished me or humiliated me or insulted me or treated me unjustly, who made me feel dumb, who made fun of me. Lord, I forgive my friends and other peers who've let me down, who've lost contact with me, who were not available when I needed help, who borrowed money and didn't return it, who gossiped about me, who ridiculed me, who ignored me, who did mean tricks to me. Lord Jesus, I especially pray for the grace and forgiveness for the one person in life who has hurt me the most. I invite you to think of someone who's hurt you the most. I ask to forgive anyone who I consider my greatest enemy, the one who is the hardest to forgive, or the one who I said I would never forgive. Thank you, Jesus, that I am free of the evil of unforgiveness. Let your Holy Spirit fill me with light, and let every dark area of my mind be enlightened. In his precious name we pray. Amen. I know that was a rather long prayer. I know some of those things you couldn't relate to. You said, my mother wasn't like that, or my father wasn't like that. And that's okay. But I'm sure there are many places there that you could relate to. Places that people you need to forgive. And so set yourself free and forgive and let go. And God promises us that, you know, when we do that, life is so much grander. In Psalm 32, the psalmist said, and this is our assurance for this morning, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man or the woman whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And then that chapter ends, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing to all you who are upright in heart. And we can sing to God, we will in a few minutes in the offering. We can sing to God because he's forgiven us. I want to encourage you, if after this service or this week, you realize that, you know, even harboring something over something that's happened here at Crossroads Fellowship, address it. Address it. Ask for forgiveness. Tell someone that it hurts you. And be a well-cultivated soil that is easier to forgive. The offering right now is going to be for the ministries of Crossroads Fellowship Church. God has forgiven us. We have so much to be thankful for. And in our thankfulness, we can give back to God, and so we're going to give you that opportunity. And during that, we'll be singing. Are we singing or just you singing? Are we all singing? All singing. The Power of Your Love.
Also pass the friendship folders.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. And Lord, I've come to know as I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround.
Has forgiven us, and he does hold us in his arms, and we're forgiven, and we can forgive each other, and then the body can live and rejoice and live its life to the full. And I believe there's some announcements about some of the ways you're going to be living your life to the full. Kevin, you see the other one?
I have two things to
First of all, Ascending Leaders is with Mike Johnson is having congregation-wide adult discipleship making. We did this, I don't know, it was a year ago or maybe less.
Last September.
It was a conference in Pella, but we live streamed it into the sanctuary here. This is going to be taking some of the theory now, talking more practically about discipleship making. So that's March 1st. Connections team will be doing some more thought about if we're going to do the live stream again. Also, on behalf of Ascending Leaders, there are some cards, and there's these cards on the Welcome Center, but also a small postcard announcing the 10th anniversary celebration. So if you happen to be in Texas, April 24.
Or you want to get away from winter.
They would love your participation. But I'm sure if you appreciate the ministry they're doing, you want to send them a note, they'd be happy to receive that, and congratulations for their 10th anniversary. Secondly, real quick, as pastor of Congregational Life, one of the things I started doing this year is just calling through the congregation. I may call you, I may text you, whatever, but somehow just touch base with you to ask, how can I specifically pray for you? This is just between me and you, not a prayer chain thing. So you can be anticipating that. Obviously, I'm not going to do that in 1 week. And likewise, if you have something you want me to pray about, you can send me an email or a text. It's fine.
I have a couple announcements also. First of all, Winnie asked me to remind you to sign up for the church directory pictures. I'm not sure what plan B is, if that's digging up an old picture somewhere of you, if we don't have a live picture, or maybe plan C would be stick figure drawing or something like that. So I assure you the best option is to sign up. I jumped on the website last night. There's lots of gray boxes, so that means people are signing up. They're doing a great job, but you certainly want to get that coveted time slot also. So if you haven't done it yet, I'd encourage you to sign up. And then the second thing I wanted to share was just some breaking news this morning that we heard that Joseph Zarwe now received his citizenship for the United States. And so let's just have a warm round of applause. Joseph. So thank God for that. Welcome, Joseph. Good news is that Rachel's working through the process also, so hopefully soon we'll have additional good news. Thank you.
Joseph wants to say.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm happy to stand here this morning. And, even though I'm Liberian, but at the present time, I am American. I'm a citizen of America. And also, when I came from Africa, 2008, and then I was told that when the 7 year completed, if you don't become a citizen of America, then the support would be, stopped. And this January, the first, my support was stopped. And I did not receive anything, no food, nothing of the kind. And the landlord told me to get out of his house. Mm. I said, but then where would I go? A cold outside like this. And the landlord said, well, even though you are good, but because it's a law in our building, and I'm a manager, but the house don't belong to me. So that is what I have to say. And at the same time, then I said, but what should I do? He said, well, if you have any other person, you should call him to help you. So I said, I don't know any other, I don't know nobody to call. And so he said, well, I will show you certain organization that can, sometimes it will feel sorry for you, then I will call. I said, call the person for me. And the lady called certain group, and they answered our call. They said, what is your problem, Zawi? And I explained. They said, okay. So we want to know your expenses. I said, my expenses are $315 a ring. But the landlord want to put me out. And he said, okay. So we will pay the landlord this month here. So the next month, if you don't have, well, but they said, what we have to do? And I said, okay. Now they are paying it. Now the Crossroads Church said, well, we will not see that our brother Joseph Zawi go out. And so we have him. And now a certain time then I receive a check from you people here. And I'm so thankful to you people. May the Almighty God bless you so great. Now, on the 21st of this month, I will call upon in my certificate was given to me, and now, at the present time, I am Liberian. I am American.
So, just a little bit more to the story. So I was talking to Joseph last week, and I probably talked to him for 10 minutes, you know, asked him how things were going and so forth. And it was probably 10 or 15 minutes in the conversation before you shared the fact that you were going to get evicted from your apartment. To me, that's pretty significant news. And so, fortunately, you know, God's blessed us. The deacons were able to help out a little bit there. And then God's blessed Joseph also with the citizenship papers this week. So great news.
Any other announcements? And I failed to say earlier, too, you've taken a couple offerings over the last couple of years for setting leaders, and we're just very, very grateful. Thank you. We appreciate your support. Will you stand for God's blessing? As you leave this worship area here, but you worship God during the week, may the Lord our God bless you. May He keep you. May He smile upon you. May He be gracious to you and give you His everlasting peace. Amen.
Seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you.